Our gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks for this gift of coming together for worship. Most of us would not meet each other in our lifetime, but in this place and in this gathering, we become connected to one another in a way that is special and has more power in our lives than we even know to describe or notice. So open our hearts and our minds to the real gift of worship and the gift of each day. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Wow, I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad that all of you are here, or else that prayer would not have meant very much, would it? So I'm glad that there are people here to worship together. And I've got myself all scattered, which is not unusual. This week, it's been an invitation to think about the Sabbath. Okay, so now I know that today is not literally the Sabbath, but it's what we honor as the Sabbath. And so, Sunday. Did you grow up with some rules about Sunday? Have you ever even thought about, and do you have rules right now about Sunday? Well, I grew up with rules. Here were the rules of my house. You can't play cards. Yep. And you can't smoke. That was okay because I didn't do that anyway. And you can't cuss. And you can't hit the bottle. And you can't dance on Sunday. Didn't say anything about Monday through Saturday. And my father took that seriously. Monday through Saturday, all bets were off. But on Sunday, he had one rule. Nobody touches those comics before he does. Well, we abided through all of those rules, and my mother certainly could not give up playing cards or dancing any time during the week, and she might have snuck some in on a Sunday. I don't know. I didn't ask her. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, every single day could be that day of Sabbath. The day of Sabbath, what is it about, and what is it like? You know, it was brought up first in the very beginning of the Bible, the very, very beginning. And in the very beginning, it talks about the 7 days of the week. I mean, something out of nothing. Light out of darkness. Life where there has been no life. And each day it keeps mounting and adding more and all this glorious creation. We talk about it, of course, several times in confirmation classes, but one in particular when we are talking about the Apostles' Creed. And it says, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And so when we talk about that, we talk about creation, and there's wonderful resources that we have, as well as ones that Melissa will create and put together. One of these resources, though, has this kind of fun, cartoonish-like version of the 7 days of creation. With each day, poof, something else popping up, poof, something else popping up. It's really kind of cute and funny and funky music. But then on the seventh day, here is God. Ah, he's got some sunglasses on. He's got a straw hat. He is resting in a lounge chair, holding his lemonade right at the beach. It makes a point, cute and comically, to say it's a day to delight in. Are you going to do something delightful in this day in addition to delightfully coming to delightful worship? Hearing delightful music and seeing delightful instruments, are you going to do something to just be glad that you have this day to be delighted in? That's part of what the Sabbath is. But there is another time it's talked about very strongly. And it absolutely connects in a way to this scripture. Well, this scripture, it brought back some weird kind of memories for me. Is that there were five kids and my mom and dad. That meant seven heads that had to have their hair cut all the time. Couldn't get away from it because you were going to have a clean haircut. And my dad was especially one that wanted to do that. He gave up on my sister because she cried too much during the time that he would cut her hair. And my brothers were easy. You just take the electric razor and you put it on one, two, three, whichever one that he was used to. And then he would go, sounds like it, doesn't it? And off their hair would go, and then it would come to me. You know the mixing bowls that you make cakes with? And I mean, it was the mixing bowl that my mother would make a cake with. Clean it up and poof on my head, like almost like a Martian or something. See the face of that little kid? I tried to find the picture that was taken of me one day, but it's pretty similar, definitely pretty similar, is that Dad, and the trick was, and I didn't always do it, unfortunately, is that if you wiggle, well, then your haircut shows it with the wiggly lines. But I would let him do it because it was Dad and I was going to do it even though I didn't like it, until one day my mother had read in the newspaper that in Greenville High School, South Carolina, in downtown Greenville, which my mother hated to drive anyway, and especially into downtown traffic, is that she had read free haircuts on a Saturday. You see, it was an invitation for those that wanted to be practice people, for people that were in cosmetology. And so I thought, this is great. I don't have to have a bowl on my head. I'm going to get a real haircut, you know, look like a little girl again, you know, that kind of thing. And so as we were going in, I don't know, I was probably 6, 5, and 4, the three little ones, as they called us sometimes, held in my mom's hand and opened the door to this basement in Greenville High School. And what did I see that made me start holding on and crying and pulling back? But a whole room full of white jackets. A whole room full. And I was terrified. Now, they didn't have little things on their head, but I saw the white jackets and I knew exactly what that meant, that they were not going to cut my hair. They were going to give us shots. Because 2 weeks before, Dr. Whiteside's office, in trying to get us, every year it seemed like we had to go to the doctor for some reason, and then it was time, you see, it was time of the year for us to get our shots, and he said, okay, you guys, and he said, there's the table, now bend over. And we all got shots, you know where. Bending over. I thought about bending over. Some things when you bend over just might be painful. Or if you can't not bend over. So for a while one day, and I didn't last long, I walked bending over. It said that she was unable, that she could not stand up. So if she could not stand up, that meant that whoever she ran into, which probably meant really running into, she would see their dusty feet. She would see any time somebody spit on the ground. She'd see when a dog or a cat or a bird did something to make the ground look a little worse. That's all she could see. It also meant that if somebody talked to her, it would have taken great effort to try to move the body to look up at the person, until probably people just gave up on that. It would mean that she wouldn't have someone else look at her face, and she wouldn't be able to look at somebody else's face. 18 years. So long that she easily got lost in the crowd. I didn't even make it 18 minutes. Bending over and realizing the crush of that on someone's whole life, in a crowd or even not a crowd, if somebody's bending over and she even had a pew to sit on, what would it be? You'd still only see her shoulders, but she'd be bent over. In other words, can you imagine that many years of nobody looking you in the face? Because if they did, they would have had to get on the ground to look up at you. And so when this passage comes through and connects it to the Sabbath, what does that mean? Here they were arguing, the leaders were arguing about what you can and cannot do on the Sabbath. And it was a whole lot bigger than not being able to play cards. But when Jesus, notice how Luke rolls this out. First of all, it says he sees her. It says, on the Sabbath when Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and she could not straighten up at all. And then it says, when Jesus saw her. Back earlier in the Gospel of Luke, there was a Samaritan who saw somebody. There's a guy that was beaten up on the side of the road, left for dead. A pastor came by. And then the church musician came by. And they ignored seeing the person on the road. But then the Samaritan saw the person and went over. So in other words, this indication of being able to see this need was an important indication. And so what does it say? It says he sees her and he proclaims her freedom. This freedom from being crippled for 18 years, from being bent over, from being unable to stand. He proclaims freedom from this ailment, and she could stand. And so she did when he laid his hands on her. She stood up and she started praising God. One of the songs that was sung on the other side is that it was talking about your chains being broken and being set free. And this is the words that come toward the end of it. It says, so if you receive it, meaning if you've received being set free, and if you feel it, then somebody testify. And it keeps repeating that phrase. If you receive it, if you feel it, somebody testify. And I told him, I was just waiting for somebody to say in the group, I did, I got it. I know it, and I'm going to testify. That's what the woman did. She stood up and she praised God. It's a beautiful story, a beautiful passage, something that she could not do, and God, through Jesus, healed her, and she could do it. How does that connect to the ruckus about why he couldn't do that on the Sabbath? You know, Jesus was all the time doing things as much as or more than what he was saying. And through what he was doing, he just leveled those opponents that day just by saying, did you hear what he said? He said, you hypocrites. And then he gives several examples of, don't you work on the Sabbath? So why not this woman, this daughter of Abraham? Can you imagine how she felt? The one who had not been able to see people's faces or people see her face or to look eyeball to eyeball or even be noticed, but just be overlooked all the time, to be called by the one who healed her, this daughter of Abraham. That in itself, to be called that even if she hadn't been healed to stand up, to hear that title about who she was. She was bound for 18 years. Why should she not be set free on the Sabbath? See, it wasn't just at creation in Genesis that it was talked about, the Sabbath. It was also talked about in a very strong, strong way. When the people of God, remember when the people of God were talked about being in Egypt? They were the ones that were being oppressed. They were the ones that were being slave drivers to make them work. They were the ones who were ignored as far as their human rights. They were the ones who were abused. They were the ones who needed somebody to free them. And so freedom is connected right there when they have come out of Egypt. He says, now, God says, now you can honor the Sabbath. Now you can honor the Sabbath, because this is what the Sabbath is about, freedom. And so we've talked in the last couple of weeks about things that need to free us. We might not have used exactly that language. 2 weeks ago was about when people were so burdened, and maybe they weren't going to be released soon, but the scripture in Hebrews was to say, don't give up. Don't give up. God's taking care of these people in the past, and he hasn't forgotten you. And then last week was speak up. Speak up when you know that there is that issue that is burdening this country, or burdening people's lives, burdening our hearts. Do something. The story even before this is about a farmer that has a fig tree that hadn't been producing any fruit. But the one who's been tending that fig tree says to the gardener, just give me a little more time. I know it's coming. I know it's got life in it. So these efforts to keep moving forward and to lift out of the darkness, or lift out of bending over to what you could not do, or you think you could not do, you now can do. Are there some things that you think you cannot do? Maybe think you cannot forgive somebody? And just maybe this story today is maybe a call to your heart to say, yes, you can. Or if you feel like you can't start a new venture because you just don't have it in you, you wake up even with that burden feeling in your life, yes, you can. You see, when we can't say the word of hope to ourselves, what is this gathering about but to strengthen us to say it to one another, to lift up? It's an amazing example for us. Amazing call to our hearts that you can be lifted up and freed from whatever is just crushing your life or crushing your heart, or you can do something about it. And it's also one where you can be that voice of life and hope to help someone through their heavy, hard time. Before, I could not. But now, I can. Like a watered garden, to honor and delight in this day. Amen.